Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in. Here we go. A Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Matt Dennison and Lee Kelly with me, as he is each Thursday here on the program. And Lee, we had a fun week of baseball thus far. Two games, Floyd Central winning a close one on Monday over rival New Albany, who was ranked number one in 4A baseball at the time. Then Jeffersonville, after a close game early, opening it up against Floyd Central last night, winning by 10 runs, 12-2, and the Red Devils are off to the Hoosier Hills Conference Championship game on Friday.
Yeah, and I thought they played real well last night. There were a couple of minor things early, but it's high school baseball, so you expect that. But I thought they were very aggressive offensively. I think they scored in every inning but one. And just came up with some big hits at key times, which is one of the things that Coach LeDuc talked about from Floyd Central that they had struggled with earlier in the year. They had some problems with it last night as well. Put two on the board in the first inning and then did not score another run the rest of the way, although they did have some opportunities.
Absolutely, and we're looking forward to baseball. We were talking this morning before we came on about our schedule for the sectional coming up here in a couple weeks, and the way things work out, we're going to be able to cover more sectional baseball than we probably ever have, because the way the 4A sectional at Jeff lines up, it's likely that we'll do every game in the sectional. On Wednesday, we'll have the two first-round games, New Albany-Seymour, followed by Floyd Central and Bedford-North Lawrence. Then we'll jump away from the 4A sectional on Thursday. We've got to do that Providence-Silver Creek game at Silver Creek in the 3A baseball sectional. Two great teams. Whoever wins that opening round game will be able probably to win the sectional, if not make a deep run into the state tournament. Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, we'll jump back into the 4A sectional. Our semifinal games that afternoon could look like this: New Albany against Floyd Central, if both win, a rematch for the third time this season. And, of course, Jeffersonville and Jennings County set to play. They drew the bye game. Then Monday we'll be back for the sectional championship game at Jeffersonville in the 4A sectional. So a lot of baseball coming up here over the next couple weeks. So much fun. Baseball is a sport that we try to talk about every Thursday, if not more, on the program. And with all the players and guys that have went on to play college and really good players we have coming through right now, it's fun to follow that, especially the tournament time. And we have been treated over the last couple of years, I guess now we've been doing baseball here on the Big X for 4 or 5 years. You and I have covered some semi-state level games, state championship games with Providence and Lanesville. We've seen some really good baseball games here with our local teams that have been very fun to follow in the postseason. Also, it's summertime, school's out, a lot of reasons to get behind it. So looking forward to being with you and PK here some more over the next few weeks. Nothing like sectional baseball. If you hear us talk about it and maybe you used to play or you used to have a kid that played Little League or whatever, go out to the sectional. It's going to be fun. $5, $6, I think, to get in. You can watch a couple games. And, again, we have some really good teams in this area. New Albany, Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, in no specific order. They are good every year. Floyd Central wasn't expected to be a contender for the sectional this year, but they have worked their way back into that discussion. So really good this year once again, but no surprise with the coaches and the players that we have each and every year that come through the area.
Yeah, a lot of teams receiving statewide recognition. Jeff, New Albany rated in 4A, Providence and Silver Creek in 3A, Henryville's down there as well in 2A. So A lot of teams getting some recognition, and there's always surprises come tournament time because almost every team has at least one ace pitcher that on a given day can shut down any team. So they're going to throw their best in all likelihood in the first game, and they can knock out somebody that they shouldn't knock out because their star pitcher was on that day.
Absolutely. And, you know, even in softball, some teams pitch the same pitcher every single game. The pitcher's record, a really good pitcher, might be 26-1 or 26-2, which is amazing. But in baseball, pitch counts and other reasons that you can't throw someone every game out, obviously, it really does change the dynamics of a team sport unlike any other that I've ever covered or been involved with. So you're absolutely right. Sectionals will be interesting. They always are interesting, and pitching is a huge deal when you get to that time.
Yeah, and the pitching, matter of fact, I looked at that this morning on the pitch count because the way it's set up, playing on a Wednesday, Saturday, Monday, or a Thursday, Saturday, Monday, in the case of Providence and Silver Creek, you have to be careful how you use your pitching unless you're one of those teams just blessed with so many starting pitchers or kids that can come in that you don't have to worry about it. But, you know, a certain number of pitchers, they have to rest one day or 2 days or 3 days. So in a tournament that's very quick, Wednesday through Monday, that could really affect how you use your pitching staff.
Absolutely. Again, Lee Kelly is with me. You're listening to a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Let's dive into the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us here in the next segment, once Lee and I get through, we'll be with some headlines and other things, announcements, will be Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Our chat with Alex each week is presented by CC Power Sports, and as you can imagine, there's a lot to talk about with this IU basketball program, even though we were smack dab in the middle of May with all the recruiting interest and the thought about the team for next season already. Of course, Romeo Langford's name associated officially with the IU basketball program, so a ton of excitement there. We'll talk about that and some other things with Alex when he joins us a little bit later. Also today, some high school baseball talk in the second half of the program. Lee and I are going to get you ready for the upcoming sectionals and talk about each of the area teams, so stay with us for that later on as well. The guest lineup is a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time now for the Hoosier Headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And a couple things to get to. We talked some about baseball last night, so I'll scratch that off. But a couple things to mention. IU's recruiting class in the 2018 class, looking at each of the national recruiting services or websites, whatever you want to call them out there, is getting some really good reviews, obviously, as you would expect with a late addition of Romeo Langford in addition to some of the other players that Indiana had previously signed in its 2018 class. But in Rivals.com, Indiana is the number 7 team nationally as far as team rankings go. Also, probably most importantly, they are the top-ranked recruiting class for Big Ten schools coming in out of the 2018 class. 24/7 Sports has the Indiana at number 9 overall in their recruiting rankings by team. In the Big Ten, they have Maryland just ahead of the Hoosiers at the number 1 spot, Indiana number 2. ESPN.com, they have the top spot in the Big Ten rankings, but I don't even think they have that. Let's see, Indiana's 11th in the overall rankings in ESPN.com, but they do have Indiana first ahead of Maryland in the Big Ten Conference rankings as well. So I tell you what, there's a lot of hype, not just from fans here locally, but the national recruiting folks recognizing that this is a heck of a class for Archie Miller. And along those lines, talking about the 2018 class, if you're an Indiana fan, and I know we got a ton of them listening, how about the work that the Indiana men's basketball program is doing on social media? And if you're, I don't want to say older, but if you don't partake in social media and follow all the trends going on out there with Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter, maybe you're just a Facebook person or maybe you don't have anything at all, this won't make any sense to you. But I have noticed, as someone that uses social media for the station here and for other things I'm involved with, that Indiana men's basketball has stepped their game up. They've produced some great work, some great graphic-type work, had some wonderful videos about Romeo Langford joining the 2018 recruiting class. And I mention this only because it's very important to kids, and it's very attractive to kids when things like that are posted or being shared by the other, you know, because when they post something, every IU recruit, it's obviously going to retweet it or share it or whatever. And it kind of, and of course, the fans are going to retweet and share and all those sorts of things as well. But they've put out some really, really good looking stuff. And Romeo Langford, obviously, the centerpiece for a lot of what has been put out here over the last couple weeks. But no question about it, Archie Miller, you know, I've never seen this or heard him say this, but it's clear that he put some stock into that. And I think if you're recruiting 17 and 18 year old kids and you know that they're on social media, on their phones all day, that you have to find a way to come across as attractive or cool or whatever it is to players. So shout out to IU men's basketball. They are putting out some really good stuff right now that is kind of feeding the frenzy, feeding the fire that IU basketball fans are feeling right now about this team for the upcoming season. So you take the high rankings in the Big Ten and even nationally as far as team rankings go in recruiting for 2018, and some other momentum that's out there. Things are really good right now for IU basketball.
You know, it's amazing to me how things have changed, obviously, through the years. You used to rely on the beat writers to put the stories in the newspapers and so on, and you hoped the TV stations would pick up on them and put some things on, and then we had stations like WXVW that would keep us informed. But the social media, and it's been around for a while, but how people are utilizing it, you know, people my age don't utilize it for the most part. But you're exactly right. I would think if you're a high school student and you find out that, you know, there's good things being said about the school that you're thinking about going to, it will have a major impact.
Absolutely. Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly here, Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Those are Hoosier headlines you just heard presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has a karaoke and DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk more about IU's 2018 recruiting class. We'll talk Romeo Langford. We'll talk additional things about the roster for next season. Stay with us as the show continues here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here on a Thursday edition of the program, Alex Bozich is with us, presented by CC Power Sports. They bring you Alex Bozich each and every week here on the program. And I tell you what, Alex, a ton of stuff to get to even for early in the offseason, just being approaching the middle part of May. Romeo Langford's commitment, no question about it, it has had an immediate impact as far as bolstering IU's recruiting efforts and just the excitement generally with fans. I think everyone is wishing that October, November would get here a lot quicker than what it will.
Yeah, it's definitely a busy time in terms of recruiting, with the April evaluation period wrapping up, just giving us a better idea kind of who the priorities are so far and the class of 2019 and maybe even beyond to 2020 a little bit. And obviously, as you mentioned, there's a lot of excitement. I think a lot of people were kind of waiting to see what would happen with Romeo, and now that he's committed, everyone's looking at their calendars and saying, hey, it's only May. We've got, you know, 5-6 months before this team actually gets on the court and plays a game together. So just a lot of people excited and thinking of the different lineup possibilities, looking at this roster and thinking, man, there's 13 or 14 guys here that could be challenging for minutes. How's the rotation going to work out? Just so many things like that that has people excited, and I've you know, it's been a lot of fun to cover over the last couple of weeks, and it should be a fun offseason as well.
Alex Bozich joining Lee Kelly and I here on this Thursday edition of the program. I want to talk really about a lot of the things you just mentioned. First off, the recruiting class, now that it's official, and official, not only has Romeo committed, but he signed, as we saw Archie Miller put out a statement earlier this week, but the national sites have been updated to reflect that. Indiana, in most of the sites out there, the number one ranked Big Ten team as far as what their recruiting class looks like for 2018. Maryland is also at the top. I think in one of the rankings, Maryland was actually on top of Indiana in the number mm-hmm. one spot. But Indiana really has some pieces to add to what was there last year, which does, in a way, create some, I don't want to say problems, but a wonder about how this is going to work with playing time for certain guys that are returning from last year, mixed in with some talented players who will be freshmen next year. And I always forget, and we've talked about this before, about Race Thompson. He's going to be there and ready to go after a year of working out and a year of practice with the program. So starting along those lines, when you think about how good this recruiting class at least is projected to be and who's coming back along with Race Thompson, potential lineups for next season, Alex, what got an early stab for people that are wondering what a starting lineup could look like with Juwan Morgan and maybe Romeo Langford involved in that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, those two are pretty much, you don't ever want to write anyone in ink, pen, or marker, but I would say they're as close to it as you can get. Those are going to be IU's two most talented players, assuming Juwan comes back. Beyond that, you know, Justin Smith's a guy who I think a lot of people are excited about, and it's a huge offseason for him. I would be surprised if he's not in the conversation. The point guard position could be interesting. I think there's a probably a little bit of a leg up for Devontae Green coming back as a junior, but Robert Fennessey's a guy I think can push him. Maybe he's a guy that starts out the season coming off the bench, and then as the season goes along, depending on how he plays, you could see him potentially starting. And then the front court situation is interesting as well, because Deron Davis is coming off a pretty significant injury. You've got Jake Forrester coming in. You've got Race Thompson. The grad transfer, Evan Fitzner. I mean, there's just so many different possibilities of how things could go. And then you could also maybe see some lineups where Romeo plays on the wing and maybe, you know, the three. And then you have, an Al Durham or Devontae Green playing in the backcourt. I think the most encouraging thing about this roster is there's no shortage of options. A lot of different things early in the season could be mixed and matched to kind of figure out best combinations. And as you mentioned, it's going to be a challenge to figure out playing time for certain guys. I mean, you know, Archie Miller doesn't normally like to play more than eight or nine guys, looking back at his teams at Dayton. And this team, I think legitimately, you know, a guy I haven't even mentioned is Zach McRoberts, who was IU's best defender maybe last season. So the interesting part will be, how do you keep everyone happy with the minutes? But the other part of that is you'd rather have a roster like this with a plethora of talent than you would what we saw last year, where it almost seemed like IU was struggling at times to even find guys to put in the game. So it'll be a really big adjustment from what we had a chance to watch last year, but I think it's going to be a lot of changes for the positive in terms of results on the court.
Alex, a lot of different websites take on the task of trying to rate where the schools fall with their recruiting classes. Is that pretty much something that's for the fans to keep their mind on a particular sport in the off season, or is there really some validity in the importance? And if there is validity, does it put extra added pressure on a coach like Archie Miller that is in some rated as the number one school in the Big Ten in recruiting, number seven in the nation? Is that extra added pressure, or is it something that you think they like because it gets their name out there?
Well, it's a positive at this point, because, you know, it's you know, you can say, hey, we had this top rated class in the Big Ten, and we've only been on the job for a year, and this is all the great things that are going on in our school. It only becomes a negative if you don't perform with the up to kind of what the expectation is with the recruiting class. Now, that said, once all these guys get on campus and start practicing, I mean, you know, nobody on Michigan State cares that Romeo Langford was the number five player in the country or the top recruit coming to the Big Ten when a game starts. The thing I like the recruiting rankings for, and this is more of from a data perspective and from kind of a, I guess you could say, nerdy type of thing that I like to look at is, when I looked at the recruiting class rankings for this year for the Big Ten, like last year I think the highest ranked class was somewhere in the 20s, and now this year some services have up to like 7 Big Ten classes in the top 25 or top 30. To me, that says, at least on paper, the league is getting better from a talent perspective. And I think one thing that's been a storyline, kind of a knock on the Big Ten since 2000 is, you know, they haven't won a national championship since then. And one thing we can point to is some of these other conferences, the ACC, the SEC with Kentucky, the Big 12 with Kansas, have consistently brought in a higher number of, you know, McDonald's All-Americans, and that's led to more success, more Final Fours, more championships. And I think for the Big Ten to kind of get back in that, they have to recruit better. And this year, obviously, bringing in Romeo is an upgrade. Maryland got a McDonald's All-American too, but still lagging behind some of the other conferences. But I do look at the numbers and say some of these teams outperformed what they've done in previous years. And I look at that and say, you know, if these classes are as talented as some of the services have them ranked, once it all shakes out, maybe it sets the Big Ten up for more success nationally in the next couple of years.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins us Thursdays, presented by CC Power Sports. Obviously, moving into next year, the excitement with Romeo, I'm sure, will bleed over to Assembly Hall. We've already seen his name, at least, receive a round of applause at the Kelly School graduation when his name was erroneously written on a index card and he was read as a graduate of the program. And I think we'll continue to see this draw in maybe some students and maybe some fans and more season ticket holders that and some that maybe have passed on some games in recent years because of the interest that he brings. I guess my question to you is this: what does Romeo Langford's, getting back to him, what does his summer look like at Indiana basketball? We know he's going to play in the Indiana-Kentucky games in early June. I assume that he will report to school almost immediately after the All-Star games conclude. But what would you imagine that it would look like? I'm sure strength conditioning and those sort of things would probably be at the very top of what he will begin when he arrives on the campus.
I would assume that he's going to be taking classes. That's typically how the incoming freshmen kind of get up to speed and kind of knock some stuff out of the way, so maybe they don't have to take as heavy of a load in the fall and the spring. I also think he'll be getting really familiar with Cliff Marshall, the IU strength and conditioning coach, who I think was kind of maybe a little bit of underrated in terms of his impact on this recruitment. I think that was a huge selling point for the program, just the fact that he's worked with a lot of pro athletes, and they can point to that and say, you know, this guy can get your body ready for the next level. But, you know, I think it'll be pretty focused on school and you know, getting acclimated with his new situation in Bloomington. Obviously, it's going to be a new place for him. He'll have to, you know, find his way around and, you know, get used to a new schedule. But, you know, I think it'll be basically schoolwork, getting in the gym as much as possible, getting better, probably putting on some weight and some muscle. And then I'm sure at some point in the summer he'll get a, you know, a little bit of a break, get a chance to come back home before the fall semester starts. But, you know, I'm sure he's looking at this as an awesome opportunity just to get up there and get in Cook Hall, get in Assembly Hall, get to know his new teammates. Get on college campus before it's super crowded in the summer. You kind of get a feel for things, where what buildings you're going to be going to, you know, where you need to be at what time, and kind of just knowing of Romeo what I do, I think he'll use this summer to his advantage to really improve as a player. I mean, his whole high school career has been based off of continuing to improve. I mean, he wouldn't have gotten to this point if he didn't work hard and improve. And I think he'll have a huge summer both on and off the court.
Alex, you've had some tweets about a court being named for Romeo Langford here in New Albany that's going to take place Friday night. It's an outdoor court. It's brand mm-hmm. new. And what has been the general feedback? I saw some of the comments that people had sent about your tweet about it. And what's the general feeling that you get from that?
Personally, my opinion is I think it's great. Social media in so many ways has become a platform for people just to complain about anything that they can complain about. And everyone's obviously entitled to their opinion. I've had some people tell me or write to me that, you know, he's just a high school kid and this is too much too soon. And my general response to that has been, it's a basketball court at a park, right? It's not renaming the public library. It's not renaming the high school gym. It's not renaming the city. It's not renaming the street. It's a basketball court, right? So if you're going to name a basketball court in New Albany, and Mr. Kelly, you've been around New Albany as long as anybody following the program. If I'm going to build a basketball court in New Albany and I want to name it after somebody, is there anyone that makes more sense to name it after than Romeo Langford? I don't care if he never plays another game of basketball. He's already the most accomplished basketball player to come from New Albany. I mean, he's the fourth all-time leading scorer in the state of Indiana. He won a state championship. He's done a lot of great things in the community. You know, if the Parks Board has decided that they want to do this, great for them. I think it's fine. I think there's no complaints for me about it. But you know, I've gotten some people that have, you know, made snide comments and complained about it. But you know, whatever, let it go and just kind of enjoy the fact that this young man's getting some recognition that he's earned and that he's deserved.
Matt and I were having a conversation about this before we went on the air today, and to me, it's more than just his basketball ability. I think he has become an ambassador for New Albany High School in particular, but for the city of New Albany.
Right.
The way he has handled himself, the fact that he has made himself available for autographs and pictures, win or lose after any situation, the fact that I know he's visited people in the hospital. I know he's visited people at birthday parties. I was told that he went out to do some film work the other day for a unified track meet, and they couldn't run the track meet for a while because all of the kids wanted to talk to Romeo. He's a very unique young man, and to me, it's not about, I saw a couple of comments that said, wait till after he's gone to the pros or wait till this, but it's not about where he ends up, for me, where he ends up basketball-wise. It's what he has done to this point that stands out. And like you say, it's an outdoor court. I think it's an honor they can bestow without, anything being a major building or renaming New Albany High School or whatever it might be. But I agree with you 100% that I think it's something that is deserved, and I think it's a good deal.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to go over there tomorrow night just to see how it goes. I'm excited to haven't actually been over there to the new baseball parks or anything like that, so I'm excited to check it out and to see. And like I said, I agree with you. It's more to me about the character of the person off the court and what they mean to the community. And I think a lot of the people that have been responding maybe aren't from New Albany or don't really understand the dynamic of kind of everything that he's done for the city. And it's not like New Albany is a town of a million people. I mean, there's 40,000 people, and he's probably touched a good portion of those people in some way, whether it be the joy that he's brought them from just watching him play basketball, an autograph, you know, visiting a birthday party, as you mentioned, visiting sick kids, doing things, a lot of things that he doesn't have to do off the court, but that he does because he feels a responsibility to do so as kind of, being who he is. And so I think from that standpoint, it's a fine thing. And, you know, it's an outdoor basketball court. People just don't take life so seriously sometimes.
And I want to go back to the court, too, for just a second. I actually was at the park last night. Roger Jeffers is the superintendent of Floyd County Parks, a good friend, a hard worker, a good guy. And he was just saying, hey, I want to show you the park. He's very proud of it, as you would expect. And it's going to be really nice. The park obviously houses New Albany Little League's fields, which they're already operational. The league has been underway now for, a month or so. But the park also includes an amphitheater, which is not ready yet, but going to be really cool. A very nice couple shelter houses for rent, and the basketball court, in addition to some other things as well. And the court, they just poured the asphalt yesterday, and it's going to be a blue court with red trim. Romeo Langford court will be along each sideline. His autograph, his actual autograph, will be on the court. Right beneath one of the free throw lanes, and very nice goals that are adjustable for kids. It's not your typical outdoor court, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. It's going to have a very smooth tennis court-like surface. The goals are going to be very nice. It's not those fat, terrible outdoor rims that you're used to seeing at a lot of the parks, but adjustable goal, I think I mentioned that, for kids, which I think plays into Romeo with how kids look up to him. So it will obviously be fun, whether it's just kids out there shooting around or whether it's an organized activity that takes place, for his name to be on something of that quality, even though it is just an outdoor basketball court. It's not a, you know, a million-dollar structure or some renaming of a gym or anything like that. I agree, that should come later in his career, later in life, once he's proven himself at even a higher level than just high school basketball. But it's going to be very nice on Friday. I think people are welcome to attend generally. The media, I know, will be there. Roger is expecting a pretty good turnout for media. So, and they're hoping to get Romeo out on the court, even though it's just asphalt, even though there's no coloring or lines or even a basketball goal up at this point, to take the first dribbles, I guess you could say, on the future Romeo Langford basketball court. So, Alex, I'm glad to hear you'll be there. I'll be there. I know a ton of media people are planning to come. And I do think it's very, I think it's a very respectable thing to do at this point of his career. If he continues on and has a great year or two at Indiana and has the professional career that some are already projecting he could be and is a draft pick, maybe there's bigger honors, I'm sure, in his future if that all works out, and we hope that it does. But for now, I think a basketball court is very fitting.
Alex, you're going to be impressed with the Little League fields and the entire setting out there. It is amazing to me. They've done a fantastic job, and you're going to love it. But I would like to change direction here for just a second. Reclassifying, the more I read day in and day out, there seems to be either the media is projecting this without really knowing, or there's a lot of kids that are looking at reclassifying to a different graduating class to enroll in college for a particular year. Is this something that's growing, or, again, social media just makes it more available, the information that's out there?
I think it's growing with online courses. And, you know, kids have an idea of what they have to get into a particular school, the core courses, the SAT score. So, you know, if you're only a few classes short and you're a junior and a school comes to you and say, we could really use you next year, and you can just hop online and, you know, spend your summer finishing classes and get all your work in, and you test out of maybe a few classes or get some credits that you would have had to get the next year in school, and you get your SAT or ACT scores, and I think there's no problem with it. I mean, it's obviously been something that different schools have used to their advantage. Last year, Marvin Bagley did it and classed up to Duke. And the other thing you have to remember, and in some cases, a lot of these kids have already been held back a year. So they're maybe already a little bit older, and so it's easier for them maybe to go ahead and put in the extra work academically and be ready. So I think it's a great thing as long as people aren't cutting any corners and they're doing the work that they actually are supposed to be doing. Now, I wouldn't like it if guys are just kind of, you know, coasting through and not actually putting in the work that needs to be done. But, you know, I went to high school, and, you know, as challenging as it wasn't at times, it wasn't like it was anything earth-shattering in terms of getting my grades. And so, I think most of these guys are probably capable of, you know, doing that and moving up to the next level. So I have no problem with it as long as everything's being done properly.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's with us each Thursday as we talk IU basketball on the Hoosier Report. Our segment with Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and across the river in southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, a lot of fun to catch up. I've got a feeling that two things. I think it's going to be fun to continue to preview and talk about Romeo and the rest of this team headed into next season over the summer, which is always a little bit slow. But I have a feeling that for all those fans that are wishing the season was here, November was here now, come July or even August, it's going to seem like it takes forever to get to the start of the season when we actually have some real basketball to talk about. So I know there'll be plenty of recruiting stuff over the summer, and I know following the progress of the players in the off season and the weight room is always fun as well. But there'll be nothing like a Hoosier hysteria, at least from a perspective of fans here in Southern Indiana and New Albany fans and all the interest in Romeo. There'll be nothing. I know the first one with Archie Miller was special. I know Tom Crean had some big ones over the years, but I think that with all the anticipation already, Hoosier hysteria will be a special one this year when it finally gets here.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. And as always, it's fun to catch up with you guys every week. And have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
All right, Alex Bozich, presented by CC Power Sports here on the program. Lee and I will head to commercial break. We'll come back and recap some high school basketball headlines of note, get you all set for the sectionals, which begin Memorial Day weekend and the week leading up to that. So a lot of fun forthcoming as we now know the sectional pairings for all the local teams. Stay with us for more. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on a Thursday edition of the program, Lee Kelly in with me on Thursdays for the show. And Lee, we always spend some time talking baseball on Thursdays. We recapped a good broadcast we had Monday and again last night in the Hoosier Hills Conference earlier in the program. So to kind of set that scene for you, the bracket continues to play out. Jeffersonville with a 12-2 victory last night over Floyd Central will play at Columbus East on Friday. Columbus East, I haven't seen them play, but a really good team this year. And expected, even though they don't play in the 4A sectional at Jeffersonville, could have a chance to be in the regional for whoever does come out of Jeffersonville as one of the good teams out of their respective sectional. So that will be interesting on Friday. New Albany last night was in action. They won 7-3 over Seymour. That was a consolation game. A little interesting note from that contest, Dylan Clark for New Albany, who's a football player, baseball player as well. Two home runs in the game, and most impressive, he just came back. He had been out for 3-4 games due to a concussion that he had. He's the former catcher, was the catcher for New Albany before he was injured. And so it comes back, two home runs right off the bat against Seymour to help New Albany to a victory. New Albany moves on now to play Bedford North Lawrence in a consolation bracket game as well. Floyd Central will play Madison, who lost to Columbus East last night, in the other winner's bracket. So it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday setting for the tournament. Always a great gear up for the sectional tournament.
Yeah, always surprises in that tournament, some more years than others. But it is a great tournament. You see a lot of good baseball, and it kind of gets you all ready for the sectional coming up in a couple of weeks that you just can't wait to see, because a lot of these teams face each other in the conference tournament, come right back and have to face them in the sectional.
Let's take a look at some of the area teams. I know you've kind of got an update on most of the area teams that as far as where they stand record-wise. And I know we do talk a lot of the 4A schools. We do talk a lot about Providence and some about Silver Creek with the type of seasons they're having. But obviously they have been the banner teams the last few years here in the area. But I want to start off with this. I know you're going to go through all the schools, but, you know, Henryville, 12-4. Class 2A ranked number 7. We can't forget them when we talk about Clark and Floyd County teams that are having good seasons.
They have had a good, solid program for a long, long time. Not great record every single year, but more years than not, they've put together a good program. The kids are well-schooled in the game of baseball, and they do a nice job. So not surprised that they're 12-4 on the year, and they're ranked number 7.
Go through the area teams and kind of give us an update as we stand here a few weeks out from sectional play.
We'll start with New Albany. They are 18-3 on the year. They are number 1 in 4A, although that's probably going to change next week. But right now, they're number 1 in 4A. They've had a great season. They're 18-3. Jeffersonville playing maybe their best ball of the season. They're 16-4. They are number 7 in 4A. And the Red Devils, certainly one of the teams to beat, if not the team to beat, in the upcoming sectional. Providence comes in at 14-3. They are the number six team in 3A, and right behind them, the opponent for Providence in the opening round of the sectional, Silver Creek, 16-2 on the year. They are the 3A number four team. You mentioned Henryville. They are 12-4 in 2A. They are the number seven team in 2A. So five schools showing up in the rankings from the Baseball Coaches Association of Indiana. Floyd Central, 9-10. They had been on a four-game win streak until last night's game against Jeff, but playing much better here later in the season. Borden, 11-9, and they're one of the teams mentioned by Greg Mengelt in his look at spring sports that has a real shot at a sectional championship. Charlestown, 9-5 in the Mid-Southern Conference, would be receiving a lot more talk probably if not for Silver Creek having an outstanding year in the Mid-Southern Conference. But Charlestown, 9-5. Clarksville, 11-10 at this point in the year in the Mid-Southern Conference. So some great baseball here in Southern Indiana. Certainly encourage you to get out and catch some regular season games. Only a couple of more weeks of the regular season. And certainly encourage you to find out where your school's playing in the sectional and catch some games.
I wanted to make sure we gave a good mention of Henryville, but also Charlestown, because keep in mind, whoever does come out of that Providence-Silver Creek game, they'll have a good Charlestown team awaiting for them. So that will be interesting in a semifinal game in that 3A sectional. But I think our sectionals, let's take another quick look at that. I think they will be very interesting. You can run through the pairings if you have them. If not, I may be able to do it. No warning there. But 4A sectional, right out of the gate, New Albany and Seymour. That will be interesting because Seymour has one really good pitcher in Alan Perry, who I'm sure that they will put out in that first-round game trying to survive in advance in sectional play. Last night, New Albany faced Seymour and were 7-3 winners in that contest. The other semifinal in the 4A sectional at Jeff is Floyd Central and Bedford. And then those two winners will play each other. So I know we are both pulling for New Albany and Floyd Central to win and for there to be a third game of the season between the Bulldogs and the Highlanders in baseball. The other side of the bracket, the bye game, is Jeffersonville and Jennings County. They will play on that Saturday afternoon, and the winners, of course, of potentially New Albany, Floyd, and Jeff Jennings County will meet in the championship game on Monday. The real game you need to know about in the 3A sectional, obviously, is Providence and Silver Creek. That game will be played on Thursday, which is just wonderful for us. It allows us to go Wednesday at the 4A sectional, Thursday at the 3A sectional, and then Saturday and Monday back at the 4A sectional and include that big game for you in our coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. But no question about it, Lee, I will be highly disappointed if we don't have some local teams, especially 4A and 3A, that make a nice run into the state tournament. I really feel like Jeffersonville, New Albany specifically out of that 4A sectional could win the regional and go on to semi-state. I also feel the same way about either Providence or Silver Creek coming out of the 3A, that they could make a nice postseason run as well.
Yeah, and if you look at last year, just to refresh your memory, in the 4A sectional locally here, Bedford North Lawrence walked away with the crown last year, had an outstanding team. 3A Silver Creek won the sectional last year. They're looking for two in a row. 2A Providence came away with the sectional crown, and as a result of their success 2 years in a row, they were bumped up a class to 3A this year to battle with Silver Creek, Charlestown, and the rest of the teams in that sectional. 1A last year, our local representative was Trinity Lutheran, I believe, as I look at the notes here. So they are the defending champion. Active sectional, nah, that's not what I wanted. Let's see. All-time sectional championships, Jasper leads the way with 38.
No surprise there.
Very impressive program. But Jeffersonville in that top 10 list with 24 sectional championships to their credit. The most state championships, LaPorte, a team that was very, very good for a number of years. They've won eight sectional state championships. Teams here in the South, you've got to go to Jasper with five, and you've got to go to Evansville Memorial with three. Information there, some of it useful, some of it maybe not so much, but it gives you an idea of the background. things change. You had LaPorte that was just an outstanding program year after year after year. Other schools like that, that the coach retires and things just don't quite reach that same level again, at least for a while. So it's interesting what happens. Just in case you're wondering, we encourage you to go to the sectional. The local 4A sectional will be held at Jeffersonville this year. You mentioned that sectional. The 3A sectional is going to be at Silver Creek. I thought that was a 7-team sectional. That's actually an 8-team sectional this year. So they're going to play 2 games on Wednesday and 2 games on Thursday and 2 games on Saturday, I'm assuming, and then one on Monday, Memorial Day. So I don't remember many 8-team or any 8-team sectionals coming through. So that's a little bit interesting. We drop down to 2A, and the sectional this year going to be held at Clarksville. That's a 6-team sectional, and they'll play 2 on Wednesday and then come back with Saturday games and wrap it up on Monday as well. And let's go down to the 1A listing, and we find that Shaw Memorial will be hosting the tournament. It's a 5-team sectional, and they will follow that same format of playing. So the information is all available. If you're looking ahead to the regional, the winner from Jeffersonville will go to Evansville. They will play at Bossy Field, which is just a fabulous field to play on. And it looks like the Jeff winner would play the Whiteland Community winner in the second game down there. So in case you were wondering that, if you're looking at Silver Creek, they actually head down to Evansville as well, and I don't know which field they play on. Interesting. They play the Madison sectional winner. The 2A, the regional, will be at Austin, and down at 1A, the regional will be at, as soon as I find it here, I can't, did we say, who did we say was hosting the 1A? Should be able to find that. Christian Academy, Shaw Board. Okay, Shaw Memorial. And why can't I find them down in the... Oh, there they are. They play at Lagodi.
Gotcha. So a full rundown of what the state tournament could look like for some area teams. And one other announcement, in addition to our sectional coverage that we'll have, pitch-by-pitch coverage from... the 4A sectional, and of course catching that Providence and Silver Creek 3A game, you and I are going to be working on a sectional preview show that will include a lot of the area players and perhaps some other guests as well that will air leading up to the start of sectionals on that Wednesday. So we're looking forward to that. We did it for basketball, had a ton of fun and success with that. Look forward to doing it for baseball as well. The interest is there, and we want to provide you the local coverage. So appreciate the update. Lee, I do want you to get, I know you've got a little bit of an update on IU baseball. I mentioned earlier in the week they lost a 7-6 game to Kentucky. IU has had a great season. However, maybe a little slippage here in some of their recent games. They've had some tough defeats.
Yeah, they really have. They've lost 4 in a row, and 3 of those came to conference opponents. So really big series coming up. They've got Nebraska coming up for a 3-game series Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I don't know how critical that is, but probably at this point in the year, pretty critical to come out with some wins as far as advancing into the tournament. The Big Ten tournament, by the way, is May the 23rd to the 27th. And if you're looking ahead to IU's schedule, I mentioned they play Nebraska over the weekend. They come back with a game against Louisville on Tuesday, and I think that game is at IU. So 31-14 on the year, 9-8 in the Big Ten, and certainly having a great year, just going through a little bit of a slump at the moment, but I'm hoping they get it all put back together. Would love to see them back in the College World Series again this year.
Absolutely. Matt Dennis and Lee Kelly here, a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. A lot of baseball items we wanted to bring you this week with the sectional tournament just around the corner, so we'll look forward to being there for a lot of the action that Lee just gave you the pairings and locations for. It will be a fun couple of weeks. Other things, Lee, obviously the Romeo decision has been made. A lot of the fallout from that we continue to track and talk about. He is going to have a very busy couple weeks coming up with the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games. Ticket sales for the exhibition game were last night at New Albany. I understand they had a good turnout for that. If you want to see New Albany play, or I should say if you want to see Romeo and Sean East, for that matter, play one more time at the Doghouse, I don't know how many are left and when they will be available, but it's one of those situations where you almost hate to go to the door without a ticket. But that game will be Wednesday, June 6th. And don't forget, tickets still available as of yesterday, I think about 800 tickets for the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Game that's going to be played at Bellarmine. I know that that game will be on Friday, June 8th, and you can log on to the Kentucky Association of Basketball Coaches website to purchase those tickets as well. So make sure you get on there. I know that that will sell out before the, obviously, the game, so you're going to need to get on there and buy them in advance. KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. Again, KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org is the site to buy tickets for the June 8th game that will be played at Bellarmine, and then the June 9th game at Bankers Life will be a lot of fun as well. Indiana and Kentucky in a rematch for that as well, and we're looking forward to being there to broadcast as well the Indiana-Kentucky games this year. So that will be fun. If you can't make it for some reason, we will be at a lot of the coverage, a lot of the action over that week.
Yeah, it's a special time when you see the Indiana All-Stars play, and sometimes you see them in college, and occasionally you see them in the NBA, but the important thing is they had outstanding high school careers, and you get a chance to see these young men, for, in my case, the first time I get to see part of them play. So I really look forward to the Indiana All-Star Games.
So a ton of stuff coming up. A lot of times you hit the middle of May, and, yeah, you got baseball and some other things going, but it slows down a bit. But this year will be especially busy as we enter the summer months. And then, of course, you get to June, and high school basketball. They get the off-season games, and we'll be talking to some of the coaches that month, getting an early look at their team for the 2018-19 season. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Plenty of stuff to get us through the summer here in Southern Indiana, no question about it. Lee, thanks for being with me again today and always on Thursdays, and, of course, for helping with the baseball games as well. That's going to wrap it up for today. I'll be back at 11 o'clock tomorrow with complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.